Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. I done kept it real from the jump.
Welcome back, Simon Salikas. In for Mitch Melnick with Mitch Gallo and Ron Francis. This is Melnick in the Afternoon on a TSN 690 with you till 6 o'clock. Don't forget game day here tomorrow on a TSN 690. Impact this week goes from the stadium with Joey Alfieri between 6 and 7. Pre-game show from 7 to 7:30. Then kickoff right after that with Rick Moffitt and Grant Needham with the call, Impact versus FC Dallas. But joining us now, one of my favorites from ESPN, looking forward to speaking to him, Adnan Virk. Adnan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Simon. Thanks for the kind words. I wish I was actually in La Belle Provence, a little Saint-Viateur bagel.
There you go.
I'll get some poutine, but I'm with you in spirit.
All right. When was the last time you were up in Montreal?
You know, we were there about a year ago, my wife and kids, and I've always raved about Montreal and Quebec in general to them. My wife's from San Jose originally. She's American, so she's obviously completely foreign to French Canada, so we loved it. Although, you know, I sold Old Montreal hard, and she thought that was the entire city. And you think that there's just cobblestone streets, the entire thing? And she's like, well, yeah. So she was a little disappointed in that respect, but she loved Old Montreal.
A little bit of a letdown, I guess. That's okay. You know,
I said at some point we do have to get to Quebec City, because I said the old Quebec City, she'd love even more. So we'll get there at some point.
Nice. Hey, and I just want to, you know, we're talking here in studio, and I'm just looking at the incredible bio. From Toronto, you went to Ryerson, you worked at the Score, and then at TSN. And how was the jump? How, you know, just in case somebody's out there listening and they want to make the jump to ESPN, how did that go about?
I'll try to tell as short as I can, Simon. Thanks for the kind words. It's sweet of you. It's I've been incredibly fortunate and so lucky and so grateful. But just if you have good people around you and you have good timing, things seem to work out. You know, I worked at TSN. I got an internship when I was at Ryerson, worked there for a few years. Obviously, not only learning the sports business and media, but great people and friends like James Duffy and David Amber and Rod Smith and Darren Detition. And what was really nice about all those guys is that they recognize my aspiration. And, you know, I think whenever you're young and you're looking to do something, you need to have people around you who say, no, you could do this too. Like, even though you're 21, 22, you could be in this chair just like us. And I wouldn't have been happier if I could have been a TSN anchor. But, of course, you're not just going to go on the air at TSN. You got to go cut your roots somewhere. And for anybody who wants to be on air, take whatever job you can. Michael Landsberg told me that. He said, you should quit here. I said, why? He said, you're going to get stuck. You're going to become a producer, make good money, and all of a sudden you never wanted to get your true dream was to be on air. Corey Warren echoed those sentiments to me as well. So eventually we left, and I took a job at Omni where I did a show called Bollywood Boulevard. I did Omni Culture. The people there were phenomenal. Stan Papalkas, Lydia Ferreira, they gave me a chance that nobody else did. Anthony Chichone happened to be the executive producer at the Score, happened to see me. Here's the connection, actually, for you. The guy at Omni was a floor director, Nick Chichone, and he always noticed. He says, so I don't get this. He goes, you're working at this Omni channel, and all you do is watch sports. And he goes, my cousin actually runs this new station called The Score. And I said, oh, my goodness. So he put in a word for me. Anthony initially was reluctant, but once he saw more of my work, he gave me a chance. We do The Score for 6 years. Then I went to Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment for a year. And Anthony and Dave Rutherford, while at The Score, had said to me, you should really try to go get a job in the States. And I said, are you trying to fire me in as very nice, polite way as possible? But they said, no. You know, I was like, wait, are you telling me the writing's on the wall? But they said, no, seriously, you got to get out of here. You got to go try going down to the States and do it before you get married and before you have kids. Because, again, once you do it, then you're stuck. You can't move and there's family obligations, et cetera. So they encouraged me, gave me the name of an agent. I actually got rejected by a couple agents. Then the third one said, sure, I'll give you a chance. And there's, you know, we'll try to find you a job. Got me an interview at ESPN, drove down to ESPN, auditioned. It took me actually a year and a half. I was still at the Score when I first made contact at ESPN. It wasn't until over a year and a half later. So to anybody out there who gets discouraged by a job interview, don't worry. Hang in there. Just keep bugging them. Eventually, you'll wear them down. And eventually, I got the job at ESPN, and here we are. So
nice.
I hope that was quick enough for you.
No, that was great. Adnan, with the passing of John Saunders, it seems like right now you are carrying the Canadian flag there in Bristol. So I want to ask you, because I am a big fan of TSN, I'm a huge fan of ESPN. So when am I going to get to see hockey back on ESPN?
First off, thanks for mentioning my dear friend John Saunders. He was the best. He initially was stunned to learn there was another Canadian there. And when he found out I was born in Toronto, and I also went to Ryerson, you know, obviously in Canadian parlance, that's a hat trick. So we really miss John dearly, and he was a phenomenal guy, great mentor to me. And as you mentioned, loved hockey. It's so funny. We used to laugh, me and him. We said, how in the world are a couple of Canadians anchoring U.S. college football, he on ABC and me on ESPN? How ridiculous is this? We grew up with, you know, Laval, Rouge Or, Concordia. He's a big Argonauts fan, CFL. We don't know anything but college football, Alabama and Ole Miss. So it was always kind of funny to me and him. And for John, it was always hockey first, too. He played hockey at Western Michigan. And he said there was nothing he had more fun than doing the NHL with Barry Melrose and all those guys back in the day. So the bad news is this, Simon. NBC's got it locked up, I believe, until 2020. And the thing is, they don't have a ton, right? Like, we dominate the landscape so much in terms of live rights. One of the few things that NBC has is hockey. So I think they're going to really be as possessive as possible to hang on to it. But I think that it would actually serve the sport well to be back on ESPN. You know, we're the TSN of America. We're the big boys in the block. Because we don't have the rights to it, we don't cover it as much. So we got a lot of pub, actually. You guys will appreciate this. P.K. Subban, of course, former Hab, was so great with the Nashville Predators. Jeremy Schaaf did a great story on him for E60, which is like our news magazine piece down here. And it got great recognition. And I said, you know, if hockey was on ESPN once a week, you'd do a profile of Shea Weber or Carey Price or Austin Matthews. So then, you know, Americans who are not even hockey fans will at least get to know these guys a little bit and then be more intrigued. So many people saw Jeremy's piece, which was terrific. You know, obviously you guys know Subban's personality, how outgoing he is, you know, playing Johnny Cash music in Nashville, the fact he rubs some people the wrong way, all that stuff, his background being a rare black superstar in hockey. And so that endeared that story to a lot of people. So I think if Gary Bettman and them were smart, listen, NBA is on ABC, it's also on Turner, okay? Baseball is on Fox, it's also on TBS and Turner. You shouldn't just only be on one channel. You know, even back home for you guys, you know, hockey's on, you know, there's regional broadcast on TSN, and of course Sportsnet has Hockey Night in Canada and all the rest of it. You should be on different channels as much as possible. So I hope the NHL would say, you know what, if you want to primarily be on NBC, I get that. If they're going to have the Cup Final, fine. But you should have a weekly game on ESPN, too. I think it would be a huge hit.
Just going to throw this out there. Gary Bettman's not going to have a job forever, Adnan, so maybe might be you.
You know, my friend Linda Cohn, who is a former goalie, diehard Rangers fan.
Yes.
Somebody asked her recently, you know, she's been at ESPN since 1992. What would she like to do? She goes, I'd like to be the next commissioner of the NHL. And I said, you know what, Elko, she'd be fantastic. Because there's a really small handful of us. It's me, it's Linda, it's Steve Levy, John Buchagras, and Barry Melrose. We are essentially the hockey department here in Central Connecticut. So it's a tight-knit group. We all kind of stick together.
Simon's Legacy in for Mitch Melnick. This is Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis. We're in conversation with Adnan Virk from ESPN.
Hey, Adnan. I love hearing the hockey talk because, of course, we think of you as a baseball guy primarily, and Simon will get to the baseball in a sec. But I'm curious, on SportsCenter, generally speaking, if you can just give us a bit of a behind-the-scenes look, what is it like in those discussions when you determine what's going to highlight SportsCenter, what sports you're going to cover, what the sequence is going to be like? What are some of those discussions like?
Yeah, that's a great question, particularly the hockey. So, you know, I now work year-round. I work on college football in the fall, college basketball in the winter, and then baseball tonight in the summer. Then I fill in on the radio year-round, and I do my movie podcast, Cinephile, as well. So I haven't worked on SportsCenter in a couple of years, but obviously I know the whole format because when I started at ESPN, I used to do something on ESPN News called the Highlight Express, and then went to SportsCenter. So when I was on SportsCenter, it was always interesting because the producers would try to appeal to the hosts' strengths. And I found it a real challenge. It's funny, like you said, that I'm now known for baseball, which I've always loved. It's always my favorite sport. But everyone just knew, okay, Canadian and hockey. So the other guy, whoever the other anchor was, he would always just get whatever he wanted. So, and they said, listen, I work with anchors who are much better than me. But if they said, listen, I want the NFL story, I want the NBA, like, all right, we'll give Adnan hockey, obviously, and then, all right, you can just figure out the lesser grade college basketball story, whatever it was. But for hockey, they would always defer to me. They'd say, okay, look at the slate. What's a good game tonight? And I'd be like, oh, okay, Rangers Habs is pretty good. And what happened is you end up getting caught in what sometimes we get criticized for, which is the East Coast mentality. Because I'd say, all right, well, obviously, Battle of Ontario is great back home, Ottawa and Toronto, but you guys don't care about that. So I'd go, all right, let's get the Rangers game, let's get the Bruins game, let's get the Flyers game, and you kind of go from there. And even if I try to sell it, like, you know, when the Ducks under Brian Burke, when Berkey, you know, when they won the Cup, I'd be like, oh, you know, how about there's a good game, let's say, I don't know, Ducks versus Kings, you know, Getzlaf versus Quick. They look at me like I got three eyes. Like, well, who? Jonathan Quick? I'm like, this guy. And then, of course, he won a Conn Smythe later when the Kings won the Cup. So it was always a bit of a challenge. I found with SportsCenter, I'm sure it's still the same way now for Bucci and Levy, we'll generally show two or three hockey highlights, obviously Ovechkin, Crosby, no-brainer, stuff like that. But otherwise, you've got to fight to get it in there. And I understand the producer's point of view now. I really do. In the past, I would have kind of argued. I'd say, listen, we got all the NBA, NFL, MLB fans. Why can't we show more hockey? But then when I would talk to people who are not hockey fans at work, I got their point. And they would say, listen, I don't know who these players are. I'm not really that into it, and it's not our product. So we'll show you a few highlights, a couple quick minutes. If Bettman actually had hockey on ESPN, it'd be a much different story, and it used to be, because there used to be a nightly NHL show. It was NHL Tonight. So
yep.
It was a much different story. Ray Ferraro, of course, Bucci, those guys used to do it together. I know Ray's on TSN back home. So, yeah, that's how it works. They'll give you a little nibble, and that's not a whole lot more. Here's another one for you. World Cup of Hockey was a big deal when we got it back. So me and Saunders, everybody, we were so pumped. And, of course, John unfortunately passed away in the summer right before it. So I got elevated to more of a lead role. And it was me and Brett Hull and Chris Chelios.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys know either of them. Hull, obviously, and I got along pretty good because at least he was born in Belleville, so he doesn't have any animosity towards Canadians. And, of course, his dad played for Canada. Chelios, as soon as, and I think it was literally within 10 seconds, I think the producer was like, hey, by the way, Adnan's Canadian. So now Chelios, of course, hates me because he's like Mr. USA Hockey. Think of how many tournaments Chris Chelios played for USA and lost to Canada. So, yeah. Listen, we got along well, but it was so funny. The look on his face, right? We're like, oh, God, another Canadian. And he goes, the amount of failed major junior Canadians I've had to deal with, like, oh, I hurt my shoulder, eh? Was playing for Kamloops, didn't work out. He goes, I've heard that my entire life. And I didn't for a second say I had any hockey talent. But my point is, World Cup of Hockey, the first game was on a Saturday, and that was up against college football. So you got no chance in America. Everyone's watching college football. The second game, whatever it was, NFL Sunday, no chance. The only chance we had was Tuesday. Did you guys remember? It was USA-Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm obviously pulling for Canada. Those guys are Americans. They said, if America wins this tonight and at least gets to the next round, then the average person will pay attention. And the average person on a Tuesday night in September, there's no football on, no basketball yet. Baseball was a fairly light night. Then the average American tunes in, goes, oh, hey, USA's playing Canada. All right, let's beat our neighbors to the north. And, of course, we smoked them, and then nobody was interested in the World Cup because the USA was done.
Well, just to go back to the Chris Chelios topic, I believe he's a demigod. And when he was traded, in the middle of July, many moons ago, I think I didn't eat, nor did I sleep for a week, and it was a big blow. And my family is a Greek background, so the Montreal Greek community has never recovered from that.
Well, something Chelios said to me, Ben Boma, who's one of our producers, he kept taunting Levy. He goes, when you throw back the studio, you got to go back to Brett Hull, Chris Chelios. And Levy goes, what do you mean? He goes, you don't think Adnan looks a lot like Chelios?
You do? Yes. Right? I like that.
Because that would be the funniest line ever. And Chelly actually, but probably on day two, he was kind of looking at me a little funny. He goes, you know, we kind of look alike a little bit, huh? Like, maybe a little bit. Like, he's still in great shape. Whether Chris Chelios is like in his 50s. He still looks like he could go out there and skate a few shifts. He's got that great tan. But he said to me, because I like the fact you got a good, you got good skin color, just like me, because I took so much heat for being a dark-skinned Greek all those years in the NHL. If there was a guy like you on my team, it would have been nice.
Adnan, since you were the face for the World Cup on ESPN in the U.S., curious what kind of reaction the young gun North American team got in the States.
Great question. Thank you. I wanted to mention that as well. So what happens is USA loses, of course, Hull and Chelly and all the Americans are bummed out, and I'm the only guy waving the flag, and they're saying, listen, pipe down. This is killing the sport now. Here in America, this was our one chance, and you're the one guy gloating. Even if Canada had lost that game, of course, you guys were going to move on. We needed this one. But the silver lining was that Team North America. And me, Hull, and Chelly were selling it big, as were Levy and Melrose actually calling the games in Toronto and Montreal, because we're like, this is really cool. Now, again, the hockey haters kept tweeting in or saying to me, even my coworkers, like, why would you do this? Why is there a Canada team, an America team, and then under 23 Canadians and Americans together? It's ridiculous. But that team was explosive, and I think there was at least more than a few people who said, you know what? I probably would have checked out once USA was done, but once I heard about Team North America, and I thought how fun those guys play with such energy, such, up-tempo games, high-scoring, et cetera, he goes, then I think it actually helped a little bit. Although it was funny, somebody told me, I can't remember the exact result. Remember Team North America, the game, they had to win it by a certain goal differential. If I'm not mistaken, they won it in a shootout in overtime, and the guys started celebrating like crazy. And I guess a lot of them didn't know. Like, they thought they had actually gotten through the second round. They didn't realize it was actually the goal differential, which is just like a bunch of young kids, right? Hey, yeah. We won. We're going to the next round. No, actually, sorry, guys. You didn't, but hell of a performance.
Yeah, you find out in the car ride home, your dad tells you, no, you're not going to the next round. Hey, Adnan, just, I loved the last week on ESPN. I thoroughly enjoyed what I saw and what I heard on PTI, and maybe you can help me here from the baseball perspective. How much did you guys enjoy the Mike Trout versus Bryce Harper hype?
Oh, it was great. And, you know, we were talking about it. I was actually filling on the radio those days as well. And you guys know this with radio. Listen, I'm sure you talk Habs year-round. You talk a lot of Alouettes. You talk other hockey matters. But then you try to go a little bit outside of whatever's in Montreal and Quebec and in your purview. So what happens is with radio, it's always obviously a ton of football talk, but I'm always trying to squeeze more baseball on. And what some critics here say is that baseball has become too regionalized. They say the problem is that, you know, people love the Cubs, but if you're in Chicago and the Rangers and Red Sox are playing, you're not interested. You know, think about for you guys, hey, some guy's a huge Habs fan, but if it's, you know, Battle of Alberta on a Saturday night, you're like, oh, of course, yeah, I got to watch Flames and Oilers just like from the Saddle Dome or Northlands Coliseum when we were growing up. So that's the challenge for baseball. So I kept arguing. I said, no, this is a big deal. Harper versus Trout. You know, the NBA, we pay so much attention to LeBron versus Durant. This is the same thing. And the fact these guys came up at the same time, they will always be inextricably linked together. And I know the critics will say the difference is they don't always have the ball in their hand, right? Like with the NBA guys, you always see their faces, you see them with the ball. Mike Trout can play center field, and he might not have a putout for three innings, and he might, you know, ground out in his first at bat, and all of a sudden he's not heard from. But I don't go by that theory. To me, the best in the game are the best in the game. And the fact that that first game that they hooked up on Tuesday, both those guys went deep, and the fact that Harper's home run went over the head of Trout, who looked like he had a beat on it for a second, I think that's awesome. Because if there's one great thing about baseball they have going for them, no matter what anyone wants to say, the young talent in the game is exceptional. And Harper and Trout are at the forefront of that. And obviously we're seeing that in hockey as well with names like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and all the rest of it, Jack Eichel. But I think definitely in baseball, not only those two guys, but look at Chris Bryant, Rizzo with the Cubs, Nolan Arenado of the Rockies, Manny Machado of the Orioles. The young stars right now are really carrying the game of baseball, which is great to see.
Adnan, we're on TSN Radio in Montreal, as you know. You also know the industry is going through some changes up here. It's going through some changes in Bristol, in the U.S. Nevertheless, what is it like, the pride knowing that you work for the worldwide leader in sports?
You know, it's pretty crazy, man. I don't try to think about it too much because it can get a little overwhelming. I remember years ago, Mark Askin, who used to be an executive producer for a lot of Maple Leafs games, we were talking one time, and he said, obviously, I love James Duffy. He's a good friend, remains to this day. I love his podcast, by the way, Rubber Boots podcast, for those listening. And he said, you know, James is the best in the biz, or, you know, Ron McClain, or whoever it is. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what if there's a guy working in, like, Red Deer, Alberta, who's an exceptional sportscaster, but you just don't see him on TSA? Like, he just didn't ever got spotted. And he goes, yeah, that could be true. And then we left it at that. A week later, he said to me, he goes, no, you know what I said? Strike that. That's not true. And I said, why? And he goes, because eventually somebody like him would get found out. And he goes, that doesn't mean that there is not a lot of talent in small markets. Because, but generally speaking, people who have talent and ambition, it'll find them. You know what I mean? There are definitely people who, in major markets in America who just don't want to work for ESPN, right? There's a longtime sportscaster in L.A. He's real happy. Great. I'm sure there's a Canadian in Medicine Hat who's killing it. It was, you know, I just never would want to move to Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver. Totally cool. But for guys like me who do have that ambition, who always dreamt of working in a place like this, it's awesome. The only thing I sometimes feel guilty about is exactly what your question is. Hey, ESPN, you're the worldwide leader. But as a Canadian, it was never in my thought. Like, to me, it was always TSN, obviously. So I always feel guilty when people say, is it a dream come true? I'm like, well, no, technically, Sports Center, T-R-E, not T-E-R, was the dream. But this is pretty cool as well. We'll take it.
Hey, Adnan, thanks for taking the time. Very much appreciate it. Good luck with the whatever's on deck next for you. And you got a big fan here in the MTL, and thanks for taking the time.
I really appreciate it, fellas. Take care. Old Montreal forever.
That's it. Right there, you heard of poutines and all that stuff. It's going to be nice. Should make his way up to Quebec City as well. Beautiful this time of year. Simon Tsiligas, Mitch Gallo, and Rod Francis. This is Melick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Live from Winnipeg, celebrate 50 years of the Canada Games as the nation's top athletes compete on the high.